Continuing the hour now with Stroman on Sports. We're joined on the phone by Dr. Debbie Stroman, the host of If You Only Knew, right here on 97.9 The Hill. Debbie, thank you so much for being with us today. Unfortunately, the topic that we have to talk about is a very, very heavy one, and it relates tangentially to sports, but it's much, much bigger than that, and that's the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis and everything that surrounds that, right?
Well, there is no doubt there is a heaviness that sits very, very hard on the Black community, the African-American community. But because this is a concern of justice and humanity, you see people of all walks of life, all types of diversity, starting with race and ethnicity, coming together and coming together to support one another, to grieve together, to think about solutions together. And certainly there are those who are angry and are exploding, because this is not new. It's not surprising when you look at the history of our country in terms of its violent start. And we can go even back to the Boston Tea Party. That indeed was not a party. It was a violent protest. And sadly, we are in a place today where we're looking for answers. We have lots of questions. And the world of sport, again, it's an opportunity to use this platform to encourage and lift one another up, but also to call out the injustice and inequity.
When you talk about something like this and beginning to get into the sports world, but we're not there yet, when you talk about something like this, where this has happened so many times in the past and we go through exactly the same process and we keep coming, cycling back around to the very beginning again and not making any progress, How do you get to progress out of this? Like, how do we break this cycle? What can be done?
Well, you know, as an academic, researcher, instructor, degreed, credentialed person, you always have to go back and understand how something started and understand its pathology before you can go forward and think about solutions. And so people have coined, I've certainly coined, COVID-1619. 1619, when the first ships arrived to the shores of Virginia with kidnapped or enslaved Africans. And I don't debate whether or not they were indentured or whether or not they were enslaved. The point is they were unfree. And when we look at that history of how people have had advantages to receive more, to better their lot, to increase their bounty, that has not changed. And here we are in 2020. There are people who have power, want to keep the power, don't want to share the power, even at the expense of inequity, inhumane treatment, violence, divide and conquer. And I believe that that spirit lives today. And I'm encouraged that there are so many more people who say, you know what, we've got an imbalance here. This injustice just isn't working, who are speaking up now. But nevertheless, we still are in a very, very disturbing power dynamic in this country.
And we've talked, and you've talked before, about the importance of celebrities and athletes and anyone who is in a position, not even of power, but of prominence, where you've got a platform, you've got a voice, you've got, in a lot of these athletes' cases, literally millions of people who are listening to you, to use that power for good, right? To raise your voice and to use it in a way that promotes justice, to promote progress, to raise awareness of injustice when it's happening. How are athletes doing? How are celebrities doing?
Well, when we talk about Black athletes, and having spoken to a number of them, two things are happening. One is they don't want to talk, and that might be because the pain is just so, so distressful. And they can't speak. And then the other is that they feel that there's nothing they can do. Even though they're elite athletes, catching a ball, shooting a three-pointer, you know, doing all those things, it doesn't matter in cases like this. Because when they put on their hoodie, or they're driving in a certain neighborhood, or if they can be judged as just any other person on the street, or as some very, very mean period people have stated, they're thugs. And so they can't protect themselves. And so that means the sense you start spiraling into depression. You know, here I am able to command an audience to have thousands or millions of people watch me, but yet in this space, in my humanity, if I hang up my shoes, then I'm nothing. I'm just like anybody else, and I can be arrested. I could be murdered. And so you have that dynamic going on with many, many Black athletes. I'm very happy that more athletes are speaking out. Steven Jackson, a 14-year veteran of the NBA, he released a very, well, the media got a hold of his speech in Minneapolis because George Floyd was considered his twin. They favor one another, and they became friends as they grew up together in Texas. He was also accompanied by Karl Anthony Towns, a star NBA player for Minnesota. We've got Joe Burrow, you know, the number one pick, white male from LSU, is speaking about this and saying, hello, white people. Black people need our help. But the one group that you don't hear much from is college sports. Mm-hmm. And again, it's another reason why I do support Clemson football. I've met Coach Sweeney, and I know how he feels about race relations, and he's rather courageous and bold, because there are other men in college football, Division I, bowl level, who can do the same things that Adabo Sweeney can do around race and racism, but they don't. So that's why I lift up Coach Sweeney. But Trevor Lawrence, arguably the number one pick next year, the starting quarterback for Clemson, came out and made a statement about it as well, that this is wrong. I love my Black brothers, and we have got to do better as a nation. And so this is just a time period for athletes to grab that microphone and speak truth to power.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Strom, and again, the host of If You Only Knew here on 97.9 The Hill, and talking about, again, speaking truth to power in the context of the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Certainly not the first time, even in the last couple of weeks, that this has happened. We've seen this happen time and time again, and you go back to obviously the most prominent, I think, figure in the sports world who stood up and or knelt down in this case and took a stand on this exact issue, and that's Colin Kaepernick, who then becomes a lightning rod and for years essentially is locked out of the NFL precisely because of the stand that he took.
Well, you're exactly right, and I speak about the hypocrisy. Because you had thousands upon thousands of people having a problem with Colin Kaepernick kneeling. And he knelt in the sense of patriotism, as in, I will respect what is happening in terms of our country, but I have got to call out the police brutality against my people. And yet now we have Officer Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd, unresponsive for nearly 3 minutes. And you don't hear those thousands of people talking about how that kneeling is wrong and it's ugly. And so all I can say is you're a hypocrite, and odds are you are biased, prejudiced, racist, fill in the blank. Because when someone dies versus someone having a nonviolent protest, and this is all covered with the mask of racism, race relations, and you don't have anything to say, or I don't have anything to say to you.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Strowman, final thoughts as we wrap up. I know this particular conversation has to end, but the conversation is going to keep on going for years and years beyond this.
I'll tell you, Aaron, I have so much to say, but I'll close out by saying, number one, we're hearing a lot about how white people need to be allies, and I do not like that. White people need to lead, because allies implies that you're a step behind or you're kind of walking side by side. White people need to lead and to be anti-racist. And you need to lead your tribe. Speak to other white people. Call out those ugly comments, those bad jokes, those racist statements. Call it out if you care. And then I'll also say how people want to jump to solutions, but you have to understand the history before you can jump to the solution. Mm-hmm. And so sit with it. Do your homework. Study, examine the history of our country. And then you won't be surprised when these things happen. Because if you look at history of our country, this is very predictable, and especially when you think about power. And then lastly, I just think about my own situation and seeing that videotape of Ahmaud Arbery jogging and then walking in at that house to look at whatever he was doing. I think he was very similar to me, and this is why it's troubling for me. Because when I walk and I go on my little ventures around Chapel Hill, I have walked in a house that was being built. And officially, I was trespassing. But I'm curious about how homes are built, the infrastructure, looking up and seeing how they're built, and to think that that could have been me, because someone thought I might have been stealing something, even though it's just absurd seeing how he had a shorts and a T-shirt on. What could he possibly steal that, you know, he could hide? But so this is personal. Again, it's very, very personal for most people of color in this country. I encourage unity. I encourage understanding. I encourage the dialogue that's going on. And I just know we can be better. I know we can do better.
Listen to If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill Weekends. Dr. Debbie Strowman, as always, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.